This is Triple M's Rush Hour, thanks to Bluebet. Get around Bluebet's all-new AFL Same Game Stat Wars. Download today. What are you really gambling with? There's few things the Rush Hour enjoys more than a Sunday session.
When you love to just knock the top off one.
And in this Sunday session, we pour out the gold from JB and Billy.
You cannot turn your radio dial anywhere else.
It's the Rush Hour Sunday session. I feel good! On Triple M.
Fat, I was at Live Adelaide last weekend and everyone was drinking beer out of their shoe. I can't get my head around it. We'll talk about that soon.
I'd like to see you drink red wine out of a shoe. Maybe even one of your heavies.
Heavies don't have sides, you clown. It'd just spill all over the floor.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, we'll also do my magnificent hump day quiz in this hour, Jimmy boy.
Yes, please.
And I'll give you a list of the top 20 Tasmanian footballers.
Interesting. Next, we speak to Port Adelaide captain Tommy Jonas.
JB and Billy are back soon. It's Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session. There's plenty more Rush Hour on the Listener app. Download it now. LISTNR. I feel good. Triple M.
My name is Jonas.
Jonas on Brown. Brown's hit the deck and he's on his knees, Root. Long ball to the outside wing. Jonas hit the pack hard. Killed the footy. Smacked it out of bounds.
He's nailed a couple early, Jonas, yes. Hasn't he?
Tom Lynch got a great tackle on Lynch. Wow. That was enormous. It was the port skipper, Tom Jonas.
That was the most brilliant tackle I've ever seen.
Tommy Jonas joins us live from Adelaide. Welcome to you, mate.
Jeepers creepers, boy. That's the best intro I've ever had, I reckon.
Well, what about the highlight pack?
Deserved.
No, punches, tackles and knocking blokes to the ground.
Old school.
Any chance of a mark or a goal?
Nah, don't waste your time with that stuff.
Actually, one goal in 208 games.
Well, he's a key defender, Bill.
Run us through that, Jonesy, the goal.
Oh, obviously, match winning. I think we're midway through the third, about 40 points up on the doggies, snuck forward and just slotted it from 45. And I think about three of the boys knew it was my first goal. So
that's all.
Pretty disappointing from the lads, to be honest.
You haven't got down there and thought I might just snaffle myself another one, especially when you're up by 70 or 80.
Well, after that reception, I thought, what's all the hullabaloo, you know? I'm better off just doing a big spoil and I get a big pump up on Triple M.
Exactly right. Now, I'm reading here, Port Adelaide captain Tom Jonas, that's you, has accepted a one-match ban for high contact with West Coast Jai Cully. How does it all work between you and the club and the AFL? Do you have a look at it and you think, oh, we're going to appeal it? How's it all work there, old Tonga?
Old what?
Tonga.
Tonga.
Kenny rolls in post-game and he goes, oh, he might be in a little bit of strife for that,
yes,
mate. And I go, oh, okay, beautiful. So go and have a little squiz on Twitter, get the slow-mo that usually is the most incriminating footage, and then it's just a waiting game. So you get a call from one of Chris Davies' offsiders and he said, look, this is what we're thinking. We've had a squiz at it. And then the grading comes through and they go, what do you want to do? You want to accept it? This is what we think. You know, your chances of getting off or whatnot. And then I go, well, I've been to the tribunal a couple of times and haven't had a whole lot of luck. So I think I'll just take my medicine and sit this one out.
Do you get blokes like I'm thinking in my time of Boomer Harvey?
Yeah.
Who could dead set have belted someone ahead like Clubber Lang and Rocky.
Yeah. And
no, we're going to challenge it.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Do you get blokes at Port that it doesn't matter how bad it looks? They go, no, we're sending it up.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit like Watto with the old LB reviews.
That's it.
You know? Just like, bang. Straight away.
Hey, Tommy, tell me this, because you've accepted this 1 week. Are the players getting their heads around the electing to bump thing, the dangerous tackle? We noticed as commentators on the weekend, it looked like players were being much more careful in that tackling motion. Do you think that's a reality or are we imagining it?
No, we certainly are. And I think, you know, my incident probably sits outside of that a little bit. I think if you're in enough collisions at some stage, you might have a head-on-head collision. Yep. Like that wasn't a shoulder to the head. But I even looked at the Callum Ward one and the Jesse Motlop one, and they're certainly, you know, they're pulling back a little bit compared to what you might have seen even 6 months ago or certainly 2 or 3 years ago. So we're getting there, but unfortunately there's probably going to be a few more that pay the price before we fully eradicate it.
But the players are understanding it, and that's what we like, Jim. And the MRO's been really tough on it this year, and I reckon the players are trying. It's just a couple of ones. Hilly.
What are you doing there, Fat?
Plug just come out. a couple of ones there where they hit the ground, you go, oh, no, and you kind of don't mean it, but it happens.
Yeah, exactly. You can't, at the end of the day, it's collision support. sport and you're going to get everything right. So you just got to work within the parameters and sometimes just, you know, take the loss.
A law graduate from the University of Adelaide, did you decide not to go forward with your law career because you realised, Tommy, you'd be representing most of your fans?
And myself from time to time as well, it seems. So I would have gone broke.
So you did actually start it?
Well, and I finished it as well. Yeah.
Bill, he's a graduate. You can't graduate
well,
if you haven't finished.
Well, I haven't been to uni. I don't understand how it all works. How many years that take, TJ?
Yeah, look, the story is I was a bit of a tire kicker. I was just doing a bit of uni, working part-time and having a kick for the Red Legs, and then I was fortunate enough to get drafted. And I'd knocked off a couple of years of this degree, so I thought, well, I've come this far. Why not keep going? So 9 years later, I finally threw the hat in the air, and now that piece of paper is sitting safely at the bottom drawer of my desk, what? Gathering dust.
Yeah, but it'll set you up beautifully post-career.
Oh, well, ideally, not. I think you've got a law degree, don't you, Bill? That's what you want air.
Look how well Bill's gone.
I'm street smart. I'm street smart. You might have those degrees, but I can walk down the street here and know what's going on, Tommy.
Do you, Bill?
You got any brothers, Jonas?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got a couple. One's out in Sejuna. Just hanging out.
Was that your Jonas Brothers joke?
Yeah, that was it. Oh, and I reckon he fell for it.
Oh, dear. I took all the bait there.
Triple M Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Not a particularly sophisticated show.
JB, Bill and I are very envious of you because you're at the final day of the LIV Golf Tournament in Adelaide.
It is nuts. We all talk about people having to go over for Gather Round, and they should, because that was brilliant. That's right. Then the next week they had LIV, and it was nuts. Oh, they're very lucky with the weather. Three beautiful days. Yesterday was superb.
Yep.
But, Bill...
And the watering hole.
So they're set up everywhere, the stands, like normal golf, but this has got, like, funk music playing the whole time.
So you feel
like you're in a disco.
When they tee off or they go quiet then?
Absolutely, all the other holes, so it's not just watering hole, they're called.
Mm-hmm.
There's music all around the course.
Yeah.
And it's just like that sort of low-grade disco music that you hear, you know, playing in
the
shops.
You can see the beat in the background.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's everywhere. And the fans were literally jammed into every hole.
So where did you go? Did you
started on the 18?
Yeah.
Because you could get to pretty close to the green, most of the players. So they were playing these beautiful little 40-metre wedges in.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched about an hour of that and had a couple of beers.
Good.
And then we said, right, we've held off long enough. We're going into the, I think we were in the cellar door, which is one of the marquees in the in the watering hole.
Yeah.
So in we go, Bill. And we had the Ripper fans down in front of us. So the Aussie team are the Rippers.
Oh, yes.
And there was about 15 blokes in their red tops. And they were they were the fan club for the Rippers.
Right.
And Bill, Rippers. Were they having a good time? My goodness.
They got
their
them.
Eye in early.
Good.
But good boys.
Yeah.
But by the end of the day, out came the shoey.
Mm.
Over and over and over again, they're filling their shoes up and sculling it.
Who was? Everyone.
The Rippers. This group of boys. So Leash finishes on 12.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're the voice. They're playing for Leash. He's trying to putt. And they're giving it the, whoa.
Oh, whoa.
It was properly hilarious. Yeah. Anyway, he finishes. Mm. They demand a shoey out of him. So Leash wanders over and tips one in.
His own golf shoe.
No, I don't know whose shoe it was. I reckon it was one of the Rippers.
Oh, so it wasn't one of his.
And then Bluey, who was attached to this same marquee, he goes down and has a shoey.
Come on, Bluey.
And I ask this question.
Yes.
Who in the world thought it was a good idea to drink beer out of a shoe a bloke's had on all day?
Not your own shoe. Someone else's.
These blokes, and they're presenting their shoe saying, who wants to be next? I'm thinking that's disgusting.
It's a motorsport type thing, isn't it? Because we've seen it with Jack Miller, MotoGP, the Aussie.
Mm.
And then we've seen it with Davey Reynolds.
Danny Rick, of course.
So it's all those.
Well, where did it start? Like, we've got a question here. 133353. Oh, we've got a little bit of time. If you know where the shoey originated, because, Bill, I know Danny Rick's been doing it for a while and our man Davey Reynolds, but they've just picked up on it.
They have.
It didn't start.
It's not theirs, no.
No. So who was the first person that thought, here's a good idea? I'm going to take my shoe off, fill it with beer and drink it. I want to know the answer to that. If anyone knows, ring us if you know who started the shoey.
Well, here they come.
Brad exactly. Rochester. Hello, Bradford.
Yeah, good day, boys. How you going?
Yeah, where did the shoey start?
I reckon it was from Rod Stewart. I reckon about 30-odd years ago, I swear I saw him drinking champagne out of a stiletto.
Hello.
Oh, wow.
That's going back.
That is.
And he would have started it too, Rock and Rod.
Oh, yeah.
All right, like that. Stay there, Bradford.
Stiletto, Jim.
Pete, Melbourne.
Hello, Pete from Melbourne.
G'day, Jimmy. Fat. How you going?
That's it. We're good, thanks.
The Shoey, where'd it start?
Approximately about 20 years ago, at least. I've seen boys at Danny Muster and BNS Balls. They're all doing it to christen their new cowboy boots.
Oh, the old Danny Muster.
Yeah, so that's happen. The Australian arm of it. And then David Reynolds picked up on it, and Jack Miller. And then Daniel Ricciardo took it international, and Formula One actually put a copyright on it. So nobody else could copyright it.
Surely not. Can't copyright it.
Many years ago.
Wow. All right, stay there, Pete. I like that. We might just get back to Fee in a sec. Brad in Bunyip. Hello, Brad.
Hey, JB, Billy, how's things,
good,
boys?
Good, Bradley.
You, Shoey?
That is the go. So I reckon it started with a fella by the name of Ryle Harris, who's a super ute driver.
Right.
He did it up on the podium first. Then Davey Reynolds got hold of it.
Yeah,
he did it. He's even admitted later that Ryle, he stole it from Ryle.
Oh,
then Danny Rick did it. Jack Miller did it. Yeah. And the rest of the world's done it after that.
All right. Fair enough.
That's my take anyway.
Righto. That's good.
Okay. And Fee from Mary Gunn was ringing to say Davey Reynolds as well. So, all right. I think there might be an origin pre that.
No, there is, Jim.
Well, quick, because we need to get to the
Professor Brownless. So during World War One, the German soldiers were said to pass around their leather boots filled with beer to bring good luck before the battle.
So we go all the way back to World War One.
World War One, and the German soldiers did it, Jim, bring good luck.
All right. Nicely done. Nothing nice answering, Trish. Family.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You know how bad that was then.
Mm-hmm. I don't even like it.
Live from the studios of Triple M Melbourne, it's the Rush Hour's Hump Day Quiz. Thanks to Thirsty Camel's Hump Club. Membership has its perks. Join in store or at thirstycamel.com.au. Drink responsibly. And now, here's your host, Billy Brownless.
Thank you very much, Matty. Looking forward to this. So, Wednesday Hump Day Quiz. And they're up for it, the contestants, Jim.
Well, we've got Ado from Frankston. Hello, Ado.
Going on, mate? How are we?
Now, what do you do for a living, please, Ads?
I'm a tiler. Very
nice. Geez, you'd be flat out at the minute.
Yeah, we're always busy.
So are you up and about? I need you a bit more excited.
Come
here,
on,
Ade.
Yeah, I'm excited, mate. First time calling, long time listener. You're always on the site.
Yes, and Harrison's there in McLeod. Hello, Harrison.
Hello, boys.
What do you do, H?
Plumber.
Oh, a tiler and a plumber.
Right, here we go. Question one. What does ANZAC stand for?
Harrison.
Harrow.
Australian New Zealand Army Corps.
Well done.
Well done, Harrow.
Which burger, boys, is Macca's selling today for only $1?
Ado.
Yes, Ado.
That is the Big Mac.
No, it's not.
No.
Harrow.
Harrison, cheeseburger?
No, it's not. The McChicken.
The McChicken.
Oh. Mm,
the McChicken.
$1.
McChicken.
How do you say it?
McChicken.
McChicken.
McEverything. All right, one Harrow. Ado yet to really show much.
Righto, boys, who asked the worst question ever, universally regarded worst question ever at a press conference? It was at the LIV Golf last week. He might work for Triple M.
We can give you
Harrison.
Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that this would happen? Like the people here, the crowd, bro, everything. Even yesterday was so good.
There's another 20 seconds. Oh, I can't believe it.
The worst question I've ever heard.
No good.
Score.
Harrow 2, Ado. I had a feeling about you before we even started this quiz. You're off the pace.
Come on, Ado.
I'll come back.
Righto. 2-0. Question 4. Right. Nearest the pin.
Ooh, might be hard for you to...
How many attended the matches on Monday night and yesterday Anzac Day? Nearest the pin, boys.
Ado.
Crowd.
Yes, Ado.
That would be 175,000.
Right.
176,000.
Who's that from, Harrow?
That was Ado second, so what's the number?
179,164.
All right, so Ado's
on the board.
Ado! You're finally on the board.
Jim.
And Ado, you listening to me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
This is the very last bit of help I'm giving you, all right?
Yeah.
All right, 2-1.
Question 5, you can tie it up, Jim. Who won Monday night's Anzac Day Eve medal?
Ado.
Yes, Ado?
No idea. Skip. Clayton Oliver.
He screamed his own name out and then said no idea.
And then gave the wrong answer.
Harrow?
I'm not sure.
All right.
No, not the sure. It wasn't one of the shores. It was Jack Viney.
Yes, Jack.
Of course. But is that it? Because he's been hopeless.
One more.
One more.
Giving him one last chance. I'm not sure why.
Sachin Tendulkar and Brian Lara are being honoured at which cricket ground? They got some gates named after them.
Oh, Bill.
I got no idea.
I think this might be one of your worst.
For that one.
Well, SCG, don't you know your sport? What did Collingwood kick yesterday? The exact score, please.
Ado.
Yes, Ado.
That is...
No, listening, looking it up.
They got 13. It was on the end, so they got 90. Oh, they got 13, 12. They were 12, 12, and then that went after the siren. So 13, 12, 90.
Is that right?
It took too long.
Oh, they give it to me.
It took too long.
All right. What are you doing then, Quizmaster?
I don't know, Jim. I'm just asking questions here.
This might be. I said this before, Rabbits.
There's a drum roll that has to happen.
He had two good ones about
drum
a
roll.
Month ago.
Yeah. So what's the score, Jim?
Well, it's 2-2.
I don't know. He's been hopeless, and he's somehow got the two.
All right, 2-2.
Just make a comeback.
Come on. Name three sets of brothers who have played together in the Anzac Day games. Three sets. There's one
played yesterday.
Harrison.
They're not the smartest crew here.
The Dacosses.
There's one.
The Shores.
There's two. Reese and Heath, yes.
And the Browns.
Move Brown.
Yeah.
Tyler and Callum.
Callum Brown.
Yes.
No, not sure.
Busy's. Never look at Busy's much.
No, they're not on my sheet, so no. I need one more.
This is a train wreck.
They're not
horrible.
On my sheet.
This is actually horrible.
One more. Brothers. Set of brothers.
Brothers. Ado?
Yes.
No, not Ado.
What are we doing here, Bill?
This is the worst.
That's just horrible.
So Harrow wins.
Harrow wins.
All right, Harrow.
Hey, there we go.
You know the other ones, the Cloaks,
yeah,
and also the Rockers.
Oh,
wasn't that hard? I don't know how smart.
The Browns might have too. We should look into that. Yeah. Hey, Harrow.
Well done, Harrow.
He's off. Well done, Harrow.
Jim, now get the show back on the rails, Bill, will you? That was terrible, boy.
It's terrible.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Jimmy boy, I went to a bed with an Irish girl once.
You went to a bed?
No, I went to bed
with
an Irish girl once,
yes,
Jimmy.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hey, Jim, I got something interesting here. Floated past my desk and I grabbed it. It's from Seven Sport, Harrison Reed, with Tasmania looking like they're coming into the competition, the 19th team.
Yes.
What young Harrison has done is he's ranked every Tasmanian-born AFL-listed player in the country, Jim.
Right.
So I wonder how many of these players...
Current players.
Yeah. That I'm about to read out. Will go down because it was interesting.
We'll want to return home. That's right.
Yep. Because Chris Fagan was interesting, wasn't he? He said, I probably wouldn't coach him, but I'd love to be involved if I'm not at the Lions, of course.
Right, like footy manager or CEO or something like that.
Which would be great. Mm-hmm. So number 20, Jai Menzies plays at Essendon.
He does.
And then Ryan Mansell at Richmond, young boy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Lockie Cowan at Carlton, another young player.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Jones, early pick over there at Adelaide. He's a Tassie boy.
Is he?
Yeah. Ryan Gardner at the Western Bulldogs, who's had
a few
injuries. Robbie Fox at Sydney, out with concussion at the minute. That's at 15. The 14th ranked player here he's got, this is young Harrison, Taron Thomas, Jim.
Yes.
Yes, he's a Tassie boy, of course.
He's a Tassie boy, yep.
13 is Andrew Phillips, the ruckman there at the Bombers now. They need a big ruckman. Mm-hmm. Hugh Greenwood, he's a Tassie boy at number 12.
Might be getting towards the end by the time that comes in.
Aaron Hall, what's going on there? He's been been around for a while, hasn't
Long
he,
while.
Jim? Is he playing at the minute at North?
Yes.
Yes, righto. Jimmy Webster from St Kilda.
Ooh.
He's played 135.
Utility?
Now. Yes. Yep. Ben Brown, he's always knees about stuffed.
We're in the top 10.
Might not get there.
We're in the top 10. He's ninth, Benny Brown, ranked. But he's
well, 2027, so it might be tough for Benny to get there. Been fantastic.
Oh, hadn't he been a good player?
Brilliant.
Yes. Eight, Jake Colajasny, Geelong.
Ooh.
Very important player for the Cats down there in that
player,
back line. The coach loves him. Brody Meyercheck at seven.
Oh, we love Checkers.
He's 30,
mm-hmm.
and geez, mm-hmm. he just gives it his all, doesn't he?
Yep.
So he's a Tassie boy. Lockie Weller at six,
yes.
from the Gold Coast, having a good year.
Well, he'll help with the posters around the city.
Oh, they sell the memberships.
Yep.
And number five, Liam Jones, back at Carlton, back at the Western Bulldogs, isn't he? Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. Yes. Alex
is
Pierce.
He from Tasmania, Liam Jones?
Liam Jones is a Tassie boy. There you go. Alex Pierce is a Tassie boy, of course. We spoke to him on this radio station. Three, Toby Nankervis. Big Toby, Jim.
Toby.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Phil. Hello. Jeremy Howard, two.
Yes.
And number one, Jack Revolt, who might be towards the end of his career by then.
In fact,
then.
I think five or six of those last 10 won't still be playing when they come in. But nice exercise for now.
And they're Tassie boys. Some of those you wouldn't think were Tassie boys. So there are plenty of talent out there, but they'd be looking for some younger ones. And then I heard with the compromised draft, Jim, one of the things they're floating, I think you'll find, is they might get 10 picks in the first 15, but five of those picks – they've got to trade to clubs, Jim, and get a experienced player.
Jay-Z said that on Wednesday. I heard it on the show.
So that'd be interesting if they got some experienced players. I just hear these things around the traps.
Yeah, and then repeat them.
Yeah, like they're mine.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Surely there's someone more.
No.
Someone more. Can you have a chat to the Whitney?
There's few things the Rush Hour enjoys more than a Sunday session.
When you love to just knock the top off one.
And in this Sunday session, we pour out the gold from JB and Billy.
You cannot turn your radio dial anywhere else.
It's the Rush Hour Sunday session. I feel good. On Triple M.
In this hour, Fat, we're going to chat to a man who did a lot better in the jungle than you did, Adam Cooney.
Oh, I'd like to see you last one day in the jungle, Linguini Arms. Also, I see old Topics Brayshaw is back on deck. No doubt you'll be whinging about something.
Oh, yes, please. I'll be coming off the long run. Just call me Shoaib Akhtar.
Just another bowler who was too quick for you, Jimmy boy. Old back away Brayshaw.
Oh, the Royal Pindi Express. Actually, never played against him. Plus, we get an idiot song out of you and a poorly told joke. But next, Rosie Walton joins us to pay tribute to the great Barry Humphries.
JB and Billy are back soon.
It's Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session.
There's plenty more Rush Hour on the Listener app. Download it now. LISTNR. I feel good.
Rosie Walton is in the studio because we lost an entertainment icon over the weekend. Rosie?
I feel very underqualified to be joining you with this. Barry Humphries.
We all are, because we're talking about a legend.
Yeah, he died at 89. It wasn't really a surprise. We'd heard he'd been in hospital.
Had a hip replacement.
Yeah, and then something happened, like a complication. But he was surrounded by family, including his wife of 30 years, Lizzie Spender, his children, 10 grandchildren.
Gee.
He was born in Kew, went to Camberwell Primary. His career spanned 7 decades. How many people can say that?
Yeah.
It's just extraordinary.
So Kew and Camberwell.
Yep.
So how did the Moonee Valley come into it?
Moonee Ponds.
Moonee Ponds.
So he had a few characters.
Yeah.
So Barry was Barry, who was an actor, author, all that sort of stuff, but he had a few characters. So Dame Edna was the one that people would know the most.
Moonee Ponds.
Yeah, had to write a backstory, but I read yesterday that she was actually originally born in Wagga.
Right.
And then moved to Moonee Ponds to become the household figure that we know.
So, you know, when Ricky Gervais gets up at the Golden Globes and all of that and just completely strafes the whole room.
Yes.
She started that.
Yeah.
She started hosting live events 20, 30 years ago and just giving it to everyone in the room.
Without peer.
No.
The TV shows for Dame Edna were mainly overseas. Like, we didn't really have like a platform for her here.
No.
She had an audience with TV series interviewing celebrities. Warney was on it a few times.
Yep.
Boris Johnson, the Trumps, Robin Williams came on. You've got to look at it at these on YouTube because you have to see her as much as hear her. Yeah, so it was hard to find some grabs.
Yeah.
But it's what she didn't say that made things really good. I'm going to swap my grabs around, Rabsy. Sorry. KD Lang was a guest once.
don't think there's anything that two intelligent women cannot discuss. There's no taboo. I make no apologies for the words, for the terminology, perhaps the coarse terminology that I'm going to use now. When did you first know you were Canadian?
And KD Lang was one of the first people to tweet on Sunday with her, you know, immense warmth for that performer. Dame Edna was a regular guest on shows like Michael Parkinson, all of the American TV shows as well, but probably best known for her performances with Parky.
I never thought I'd catch on in America, and yet it's happened in a wonderful, wonderful way. In case you didn't know it, viewers, I am a very big star with our cousins across the Atlantic. And I didn't seek it. I was in the cemetery buffing up my husband's obelisk. Because there's very often... He used to like me doing that when he was sitting.
One of her characters that didn't go on as long was Sandy Stone, sort of like an older gent. But the one that hasn't had a lot of...
Was it Sandy Stone? Righto.
There was Sir Les.
Or Lesmond. I loved him.
Watching it back hasn't aged well, but that's partly why a lot of people still love and remember Sir Les Patterson. Yes. He was a lecherous drunk and Australia's cultural attaché to the United Kingdom, chairman of the Australian Cheese Board. He was crude, unrefined, sexist and a drunkard. That was Barry's own words to describe his character. Yes. He joined Mike Willacy. I'm not sure if it was live on TV or perhaps not live, but I love how they were both sort of breaking character and were egging each other on.
How you handle being a friend of celebrities?
Well, what celebrities have you in mind? There's quite a few celebrities. Joan Collins is a personal friend of mine. She's a beautiful girl too. She likes perfume too. You wouldn't guess what she puts behind her ears to attract the menfolk. Her ankles.
Oh, come on, Les.
Well, it's 7:15. Are you with me? Is this a dry run or is this going straight to air? Are we on delay? That's what I want to know.
If we're not on delay, I'm finished.
Oh, my God. No, that's back in like the Paul Hogan show days. They were a bit, things were different back then.
A bit ripe.
Things were a little ripe.
Totally different. Yep. And that's, we all loved that back then. And some of us still have a chuckle now. Some might.
No, but getting back to Dame Edna, what I used to love, Hosen, you're right. It's as much what she did without saying anything, of the words. Mm-hmm. Was that thing she used to do with her mouth?
Yeah.
And you just piss yourself laughing. Yeah. And then at the end of it, you think, what was I actually laughing at?
She just had comedic timing
genius.
If you can look up the one where Robin Williams crashed her set, that was particularly good. Look up Warnie.
Yes.
Incredible, brilliant, incredible mind and a talent very much lost.
Well done, Hose.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I can't believe that. That's poor radio.
Very poor.
Poor radio.
Our next guest was an AFL superstar, winning the 2008 Brownlow Medal.
So Adam Cooney, he'll kick from 55 with a wet pill. It's a wobbly torpedo. It's got the distance. Ooh. It's got the carry. And I tell you bloody what, it's got the accuracy.
He was able to get out of trouble on the field.
Look at Cooney. That's evasive footwork at its best.
But in the jungle, he couldn't avoid the infamous eating trials. Lock your ears, kiddies.
Bit of zebra pants.
This is a man on a mission.
Will you not burp your cow piss on me when I'm trying to swallow a dick?
Ahead of the I'm a Celebrity season finale on Sunday, please welcome Adam Cooney.
Here he is, the great man from Geelong, of course. Won a Brownlow medal at the Western Bulldogs. Kicked out of I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here last night. Double elimination. Great to have him on board. Coons, welcome.
Hey, boys. Great to be here. It's great to be free and out in the world where I can actually eat and drink and enjoy myself again.
And what happens, Jim, when you finish in the top five, as Coons did, unlike my good self?
No, very much unlike
you. Yes. The family and the Dahl, they all come over and stay with you. How's that been, Coons?
Oh, mate, it was incredible. So they tricked us. We thought we were filming a scene with me and Nathan locked arms, leaving the jungle. And as we got to the end of the path, our families were waiting there for us. So I broke down once again. I've had many emotional moments over the last month, but that was another one to add to the list.
Mate, I can't believe that. It does that to you, the jungle, and your kids, seeing your kids and your wife, of course. But you've got very teary in there, Coons, which is good. It's good to see that. Is that going to continue? Yeah.
I think I've cried enough tears to last me the next sort of 10 years, I think. So it's pretty emotional in there. You don't realise the toll that it takes on you. The boredom factor is obviously number one, and then being away from home and not knowing what your family's up to every second of the day. Generally, when you go away, you can call, you can FaceTime, but you just have no idea what they're doing, no idea what they're showing on TV, no idea how you're coming across. And I was just wondering whether Hayley wanted me to get out of there because I was embarrassing her and the family, or she wanted me to stay in. So I had no idea, and that's part of it, the boredom factor and just the unknown.
I saw a couple of snippets in the paper where it said that you were, which I think is completely unfair, embarrassed to be awarded the Brownlow Medal. You had a magnificent year. The only problem you had, as you touched on, is you narrowly beat one of the most popular footballers ever to play the game in Matty Richardson. If anyone else had come second, no one ever would have brought it up.
Yeah, well, you're spot on. People do bring it up all the time. And I don't know if you remember the evening in 2008, if either of you were there.
I was there.
An audible roar every time Richo got a vote, and genuine boos every time I overtook him with another three voter. So, yeah, I did say that I was embarrassed to be a Brownlow winner. Well, you are, because it's the highest individual honour, and sometimes I feel like I don't live up to that. But, I'm not going to give it back, Jimmy, for sure.
Don't give it back.
And they can't take it off you. So, exactly, well done, right, Adam Cooney. Now, I've got a couple of things to ask you. What was the hardest thing for you being in the jungle for 4 weeks?
Oh, the hardest thing is the boredom. Yes. So when I got out, Hayley said, "Oh my God, that looked like you had an amazing time. How fun was it?" And I said, "Well, there's probably about half an hour, 45 minutes of fun during the day if you get picked to go to a trial.
Right. Yep.
But the rest of the day, they get you up, they wake you up with the birds. It's about 6 in the morning. They force you to get out of bed to sit a meter and a half away from your bed on a log next to the fire and talk and come up with content all day. So if you're not in a trial, you basically have to fill in 14 or 16 hours of sitting around and pretending that you like half your campmates.
Spot on. That is, it's boredom. Hey, I want to know, because this happened to me. So you're in there, other celebrities come in, and you're going, "Oh, shit, who's this? I've got no idea who this is." And you've got to spin them around because their names are on the back of the T-shirt.
Oh, it was hard. And when I walked in, Dom from Maths was already there.
Yeah.
So most people know her because she's been a big deal for the last couple of years. Dicko was there. Everyone knows Dicko. And then there was Bianca, who used to do the Yokai footy show.
Yep.
So I sort of knew two of them, and I knew Bianca's face, but I didn't know her name. Thankfully, Dicko was straight onto it, and then I had no idea who Deb was when she got out of the truck.
Yep.
She's obviously Pippa from Home and Away, and has been for many years, so she's a star, but I had no idea who she was. And then when everyone came, we were first into the jungle, and then the next group came in, I was like, "Oh, hi, nice to meet you." And then you sort of have a look at their back, hashtag celeb.
Mate, from there. That sounds like Bill and I going into the Logies. We just kept walking past people saying, "Who the hell's that?" And they were saying the same the other way.
How much weight did you lose, Coons?
I dropped 11 and a half kegs, Billy.
Wow.
It was in 28 days. So I put on 4 kilos overnight with 130 beers. And I had a chicken parma when I got out of here. Then I had a steak. I had a roast lamb.
Yeah.
And I've just had some eggs for breakfast this morning. So
Bill did
that
the same.
Won't stay off for too long.
No, Bill Lott put his 11 and a half back on the plane.
Hey, well done, mate. Well done. Fantastic.
Well done, man.
There. Enjoy it with your family. We'll see you back when you're in Melbourne town.
No, good on you, lads. Cheers.
See you, Coons.
Triple M Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Dilza's down in Geelong. Hello, Dilza.
How you going, boys?
What are you going on?
Not much.
What are you going on? 133353, time to get the family involved.
Yes, please.
I ask a very simple question. We've asked it before.
What is it?
What do your kids do that drives you insane? I'm going to give you an example. The cutlery at our joint goes like this.
Righto.
We have 16 knives, 16 spoons, 5 forks.
Why only five forks?
Because they take the bloody things to school to eat their lunch and leave them there. And fat. The forks are Wedgwood. Now, before people jump up and down, they're not the ridiculously expensive Wedgwood ones that you get when you get married and they cost like $1,000.
Well, when you get married, well, give you some.
Well, that's my thoughts too. I don't have any of those. Yeah. But these ones come in a box where you get four of each.
Yes.
But every time you've got to get a box, it's over $100 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill, I don't need any more knives and I don't need any more spoons.
Exactly right.
But
it's
the
funny.
Bloody forks are gone.
See, I haven't got the little teaspoons in. I only got two of them.
People have been thumping them.
I don't know how, why or what they would do that. But I tell you another one, Jim, I got one. Oscar says, Dad, can you just drop my suit into the dry cleaners? The dry cleaners, Jim.
Yeah.
So I've got
your own suit in.
I've got the ticket on me, and guess who's got to go and pick it up and pay for it?
But why is that? You got your own bloody money and you got your own car.
And it costs a bit. Of course it does. Dry cleaners
take
and the
your
suit.
Own suit to the dry cleaners.
So they're not bad, are they, these bloody kids?
Well, what do your kids do that drives you insane? Ring us now, 133353. Brendo's in Pasco Vale. Hello, Brendo.
Lads, I'm on the way to have a couple of frothies. No one cares how we are, just what we're doing.
It's like the quiz on Saturday.
Quiz on Saturday.
Exactly.
What do your kids do that drives you nuts?
Hey, not my kids, but one of the mates was telling me his kids with the... Everyone's got the dishwasher.
Yep.
Instead of getting the freshies out of the cupboard, they just take them out of the dishwasher, dirty them, put them back in and restart a new load.
Yeah. Well, the kids at our place dump everything on top of the kitchen bench above the dishwasher.
Oh, yes.
Because they're too frightened to open it.
Why?
Because if it needs emptying, then they've got to do it. Mm, so they just leave everything on the top.
Well, I don't use a dishwasher. I don't like dishwashers. So I'll fat the dishwasher.
Why not?
It's too much electricity or something. Don't need it. And dryers. You don't need dryers either.
Leith?
Leith
in Melton?
Leith Garrett. Hello, Leith.
Jing, Fat, how are we?
Good. Leithy, what do you got for us?
The thing that annoys me most about the kids is if you're sitting down, they come out and they say, have you seen my pair of shoes? And it's either staring them right in front of the face or they don't bother looking before they ask you.
Oh, no, mate. Oh,
he's filthy, doesn't he?
Oh, no, I don't mind it.
Honestly, Luke. If it's a dog at a bottom, it's right sitting there.
No, that's it. Yeah. But Leith's point's a good one. That is, they ask before they even start looking. Like, finish looking and then come and ask.
Lazy.
Stay there. Ben in... Where's Benny from?
Wodonga and Albury.
Oh, Benny boy.
Fat Jim.
Yes, Ben. What annoys you about your bloody kids or something?
They take the car, it comes back empty, and the coins are out of the console.
Yeah, and Benny, also, because I've always got either snakes or jubes, they're empty too.
No point even having them in the car.
No, I'm with you.
Comes back
I don't
empty.
Give a stuff. Always comes back empty.
No lie.
Oh, I didn't realise.
Oh, you fill it up, do you?
I didn't realise it wasn't there. Petrol. Stay there, love it. Rod, Hoppers Crossing, Rocket.
How are you, boys?
Good, Rocket. What are you
cats
got for
are back,
us?
Billy.
The cats are back. Oh, wasn't that magnificent the other night?
It was sensational. Doors, boys. Leaves every door open, bloody fridge doors, bedroom doors, whatever. But the worst one was she left the car door open one day after coming home from school, and I went out for work the next morning, and the car door was still open.
Oh no.
Rocket.
Left the car
door. Not out in Hopkins.
No, no, you don't want to leave it open there. Was it all good, everything in the car?
Yeah, the battery wasn't much crash hot, though.
No, no.
Stay there, mate. All right, Con Elsenwick. Hello, Conroy.
Connie.
King of Kings, King of Geelong. How are we, lads?
Good. King of Elsenwick.
What do your kids do that drive you nuts?
Well, where do I start? You go pick them up. From they're hanging out with their mate somewhere.
Yep.
If they answer the phone, where are you? They just give you the street name. Then you go to pick them up and three kids stick their head in. They go, oh, by the way, we've got to drop off Chris, Bill, George, need to lift home. And before you know it, mate, you've clocked up another 20 clack case.
That's exactly right. Oh, can Oscar come? It drives you mad. Good one, Con. I like it.
I like it, Con.
How many kids you got, Con?
Three boys, Billy.
Oh, right.
Stay there, mate. Ooh, I like that. That's good.
One more.
Still going.
Yes.
Wow.
Gaz in Werribee.
Gazza.
How you going?
Good.
Hey, Gaz.
How's Werribee?
Fantastic, mate. Just like Hoppers Crossing. Don't leave your car door open.
What happens with you?
Mate, my daughter drives me nuts because she likes to tell me jokes.
Oh, yeah.
And?
Yeah.
Any good?
Well, it's Billy. No, they're your crap jokes from the day before, Bill. No, I have to hear him twice.
And you'd laugh the first time and the second time, Gaz.
I do my best. You know how it is. Keep the daughter's spirits up.
I like it. All right.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
When he's wrong with us, that's why we keep rating. Tell you what we're doing here.
What?
Matty Haywood, the genius in the booth, he compiles all the idiot stuff.
Yeah.
He's got hours of it.
No, he hasn't.
So then he goes, well, I can either punch it into about 15 minutes, we get about 8 for the show, and then you hear the rest of it on the app.
Yeah.
Or they can put it to a song.
Oh.
Started this a couple of years ago. It is genius. So, Bill.
Yes.
Sit back and enjoy one of the greatest rock and roll bands in history, Kiss.
No, Jim. Hang on. Do it properly, Jim. This is how you normally do it.
Put your hands together for Chris. A kiss, I should say. Shut up, fat rabbits. Hit it.
Sometimes it's the old kiss theory, Jim. Keep it stupid simple.
You show us everything you've got.
What about Wrexham? Ryan Reynolds and Rob McInnell Henny.
You drive us wild, we'll drive you crazy.
Are you a romantic?
A romantic. You say you wanna go for a spin.
Plus something else there, Gene. You forgot to read out.
Germ.
I think it was a germ or gene.
It was one of those. You keep on shouting,
you keep on shouting. Boy, is a Scobie pole called a Scobie.
Scobie pole. A Scobie pole.
Shut up. These young midfielders, they've impressed me. Luke Pedler, Jakey Soliglio. Nat Fyfe. Ooh, still ruled out over there, Jim. They're plantar fasciitis.
Plantar fasciitis.
That's it. You keep on saying you'll be mine for a while. Fontenpelly flying.
Magnificent.
Best dog ever. You drive us wild, we'll drive you crazy. You should go see a doctor about your lack of humour. You might need a humour atomony.
Rabs. And you drive us wild,
we'll drive you crazy. Marcus Harris played for who he plays for over there. Plays for one of the counties. Worcestershire. Amanis Labuschagne is playing with Glenorman.
Oh, what was that?
Whatever they're called over
no,
there.
No, go again.
Glamorgan. Oh. He got a couple.
Glen Norman is called.
Well, Greg Norman.
Greg Norman's on his
mind. I think it's Greg Norman he plays with. Wanna rock and roll all night. You know what Glenelg is?
Glenelg.
Yeah. The palindrome.
Oh, my goodness. You put an M in there.
Palindrome.
You nearly got it out.
Glenelg, you know what it is?
Yes.
What?
Palindrome. Palindrome.
Palindrome.
Palindrome. L-N.
Shut up, Jim.
What is wrong with him?
Good song.
Great song.
Great song.
I like it just in the bridges, Rabs. I like that.
I don't know if I actually do that. I think that's just been put in there. Some other fool's head on air. From the breakfast show, probably, and they just take it off there and put it on ours, making me look bad.
Yes. That'd be it.
That was Kiss.
Brilliant, Matty.
That was Kiss, Jim.
Yeah, put your hands together for Chris. Kiss, I should say.
Yes. You idiot.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. Get ready to laugh.
Any chance of the joke being funny?
No.
Or groan.
That's truly horrific.
This is Billy's joke on Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session.
A little girl goes to a pet shop, Jim.
Yes.
And says, excuse me, do you have any Whittle Wabbits? The shopkeeper's heart melts, Jim. He gets down on his knees so he's on her level and says, do you want a Whittle White Wabbit or a Fuffy Black Wabbit or that little brown wabbit over there? The little girl blushes, Jim, rocks back on her heels, puts her hands on her knees, leans forward and whispers, I don't really think my pet python gives a f***.
Fat. 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 It's a funny joke, but I want you to acknowledge how many times you've told it.
That deserves plastic.
I reckon we're moving into the second hand of how many times he's told that. So at least five. I reckon it might be six. But having said that, it's actually not a bad joke.
It's not a bad joke. He's just not here to enjoy it.
You can't rehash. That's the sixth time you told it already.
No, it's not. Little puffy wabbit. Poor little brown puffy wabbit or the white puffy wabbit.
Yeah.
How good, Pat. Well done.
This has been Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday Session. The best of JB and Billy.
You might get taken off here if you don't lift.
And you can catch the boys anytime by downloading the Listener app.
How do you spell it?
LISTNR. I feel good. Triple M's Rush Hour, thanks to Bluebet. Get around Bluebet's all-new AFL Same Game Stat Wars. Pit superstar versus superstar in head-to-head battles every game. Download the app today. What are you really gambling with?